on vision. There's a sign upon your door.
Pops, don't blab it around, will you?
Gone fishing.
Keep it shady. I got me a big one staked out.
You ain't working anymore.
I don't have to work. I got me a piece of Gary.
Cows need milking in the barn.
I have the twins on that detail. They each take a side.
But you just don't give a darn.
Give them 4 bits of cow and hand lotion.
You just never seem to learn.
Man, you taught me.
You ain't got no ambition.
You're convincing.
Gone fishing. Got your hound dog by your side.
That's old Cindy Lou going with me.
Gone fishing. Fleas are biting at his hide.
Get away from me, boys. You're bothering me. Folks won't find us now because Mr. Satch and Mr. Cross, we gone fishing. Instead of just a wishing.
Bapa baby babu baby mbole.
Oh yeah.
It's already Thursday. That means it's time to talk to our early bird fishing guy, Jeff Sonning. Morning, Jeff.
Good morning.
How you doing?
Well, a little warm, but mostly okay. I've been tossing and turning all night long because I can hear the thunder rumbling off in the distance, and every once in a while the backyard lights up with a little bit of lightning.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, you know, get all this hot weather. I tell people when we're fishing and they always give me a funny look. I say the only bad thing about this really hot weather is there's no way out of it without a storm.
Yeah.
You know, you never just wake up one day and it's just a little bit cooler than it was the day before. It's either hot and then more hot and then a big storm, or else it just keeps staying hot for 2 weeks at a time.
And that certainly is what it's been. It's been hot for 2 weeks at a time, and I'm sure that's had a drastic effect on water temperatures.
Well, we got up into the, like, 84, 85 degree neighborhood.
Wow.
Here, let's see, today's Thursday, so Monday or Tuesday, I think it peaked of what I've seen so far, but there was one particular day when the sun was shining and there wasn't too much wind blowing, and I stepped into the water to hook the boat up on a trailer, and when I got into the water, I remember commenting that the air temperature and the water temperature were identical.
Wow.
And you didn't even feel, you know, usually when you step into a lake, there's a little bit of cool sensation, no matter, even if it's just a couple of degrees. But this was literally, I couldn't tell the difference between my feet being in the lake and the rest of my body being above the water. It was just all the same temperature.
Man. So, you know, outside you can always go under a tree. What do fish do? Where do fish go to try and keep cool, if there's such a thing?
That's, you know what, that's a great way that you just said it, because that's basically what they do, is they go under a tree. And the weeds to the fish, of course, is the same difference. I wrote a few days ago about that, and I tried to create an analogy that was, you know, somewhat accurate. If you were out in I was fishing with a fella, and he said, what time of the year do the fish go deep? When it keeps getting hot like this, when do the fish go deep? And on a good percentage of the lakes in our area, they never go deep. That deep water is not available to them. You have to do a little studying about your favorite lake. You know, some of the lakes in our region form a thermal cline, and it kind of creates this barrier. Fish really can't go below it because the oxygen gets depleted, and this barrier is getting to the point now on a couple of lakes where I can drive across and I can actually see it on my graph. It usually occurs somewhere around 22 or 23 feet of water. So on those lakes, the thermal cline, that's about as deep as they're ever going to get. And the water temperature at that depth isn't that much different than it is on the surface. So in lakes like that, and the one that we were fishing that day, we had gone to every sort of mid-lake bar and little hump and deep points and things like that. And this is where the fish had been up until about 3 or 4 days before that. And by 11 o'clock in the morning, we just had absolutely nothing. Hmm. The fish were just gone from all that stuff.
Wow.
So we moved up into the weeds, and as soon as we got into the weeds, we found every kind of fish. It was a little bit of this and a little bit of that. There was walleyes in there, and there was some crappies in there, some perch, lots of northern pike, rock bass, even bullheads. And as long as we stayed right in the weeds, we were okay. And if you think about that, like you could go out on maybe on the golf course, let's say, and most of it is flat, but then there's a hole, there's a depression looking down the hill, and it's 40 feet deeper. But there's no cover, there's no trees, nothing surrounding you. There'd be no benefit to you to go down into that hole to try and escape the heat because the sun would still be baking down on you. But go up the hill into shallower territory, and there's a little grove of trees, and you go underneath those trees and get a little bit of shade. The same difference. It's cooler, and the sunlight isn't penetrating your eyes, and it's just a easier way for fish to go on a lot of the lakes. So if you're fishing a lake that has relatively shallow water, 30 feet or less, let's say, it's probably a pretty safe bet that that lake is going to have more fish in the weeds right now than it will in deep water. The exceptions to that would be lakes that never get a thermocline. Something that comes to mind would be Walker Bay on Leech Lake. The deep, no matter how deep you go, it still has good dissolved oxygen. There's not a thermocline, so the fish are not limited to where they can go. On lakes like that, you could find fish this time of the year starting to show up on structure in 35 to 50, 60, even deeper, depending on the structure that's available and what their food sources are. They don't really care how deep it is or how shallow it is. I was talking to a DNR biologist one time, and what he said made the most sense to me of anything that everybody ever told me, is that fish don't know what they're looking for, but they have a certain way of just finding comfort. And so they gravitate towards areas that are the most comfortable for them. And then when those areas also have good sources of food, then they've got places where they will set up permanent residence until the heat passes and the fall fishing, the cooler water kind of kicks in, and things, everybody shows back up in the shallow water on the weed lines and things like that. And that's on its way. This is a really short-lived period. No matter how hot it seems and no matter how long it seems to have gone on, you give it about another 3 weeks or so, and it will have already peaked and we'll be going the other way. There's something magic about August. The evenings get a little bit cooler and things start to go down. Once we hit this mid-80 degree temperature, it won't last. In fact, I'll be surprised if it lasts for another two or three weeks.
So let's talk about fishing. When you catch a fish, and there's either two things that happen. You put it back or you keep it. How do you do that in extremely hot weather?
Yeah, this gets to be a little tricky now, because the warmer the water, the higher their metabolism. And when you're pulling them in, they're using up a lot more energy right now than they would. So one of the strategies that makes it a little bit easier if you're going to release fish, take up pliers, especially if you're walleye fishing, crimp down the barb on your hook if you're fishing with Lindy rigs or spinners. As long as you keep steady pressure on the fish, you'll be able to get them in, and it's not as hard without a barbed hook as it sounds. And once you get that fish in your hand, you can get that hook out much more easily and get the fish back into the water. Unlike everybody else, we like to take pictures and get a nice photo of a fish and all kind of stuff. But this time of the year, either be ready before the fish is even in the boat, have your camera all set up and and get the picture quick and get the fish back in the water, or else just don't even bother doing that. You know, just let them out and, you know, skip the photos until the water cools back down again. But go ahead and pinch that barb down on your hooks, and that will help a little bit. Another thing that really helps, sometimes I see folks that haven't really paid attention to what it is to get the hook back out of the fish. You think of it, it went in a certain way, and it goes back out easily if you go the same way that it went in. And sometimes you have to figure out an angle. Don't rip and tug and don't pull from the top of the hook. I'd like to find some of the tools that you can buy for fish hook removal are better than others. You want to get a little forceps or a curved clamp that has a really good tight grip, so that when you get that thing on the hook, it doesn't slip off, and that will make it a lot easier. And there's a little trick. I'll try to create a video over the next couple of days when I get a chance. If you go in gently through the side, the gills of the fish, there's quite a bit of open space, and you can get one of these little curved clamps in through the gill and get a hold of that hook at an angle so that it just pops right back out real easily. It's a lot better than trying to shove that thing down the throat of the fish, and it's really very easy to get the hooks out if you do it the right way. So take a second, look at it, figure out how it went in, and then plan the strategy of how you're going to back it out of there before you hit that hook, and that will save a ton of fish. And then, of course, the other side of it is, you know, we're not going to release every single fish that we catch. And the day that I mentioned, the hot day when the fish were all up in the weeds, no matter what I did, that was the first day of this summer that I was relying on the live well in my boat to keep the fish alive. But the water had become so warm that it just could not support them. They couldn't stay alive in that warm water. Wow. So from then on, I've been carrying a cooler. If you're lucky like me and you've got a extra freezer out in the garage for, you know, extra storage, or any of the, in my case, my wife would say for the dirty stuff.
We got to go, Jeff.
Get a big chunk of ice. We'll talk to you next week.
All right. Thanks a lot, Jeff. That's our early bird fishing guide, Jeff Sundin.